Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Glad you're here. This morning, as we continue in our study of Acts, we're going to see what happens when someone stops asking God to remove what's in their path and instead just willfully submits to whatever the Lord has in store and then trusts Him all the way through it. And I think that that's a very scary, powerful, and important lesson. Because, you know, so often in our lives, stuff will happen to us, and our first reaction is, well, that doesn't feel so good, so Lord, take it away. I'm not enjoying this chapter, Lord. I need this removed. I need this fixed. I need this changed. And if you've walked with the Lord for a while, you may have already learned the lesson that some of the most important lessons that God has given us are the times when He carried us through those things that we would not have chosen for ourselves. Times in which He carried us through things that were not pleasant, were not easy. But so much of what He wants to happen, a lot of times that's when that's accomplished in our lives. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we will jump back into Acts 21. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for today. Thank You for bringing us together. Thank You for filling our hearts with faith. Thank You for revealing Your Son to us. For convicting our hearts of our own sin and trusting the death of Jesus for our grace and righteousness. Father, we praise Your name because we know that You are the author of life. We know, Father, that You are above all things. And we admit, we confess to ourselves and to You that You know how to lead a life better than we do. So this morning as we study Your Word together, I pray, Lord, that in our hearts we will trust You to lead our lives, to guide our steps, that we will have faith for the end of all things, the end of our days, and Father, for today, we praise Your name, and we offer this through the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, we're going to pick it up in verse 27. Now, you'll remember the Apostle Paul has made it back to Jerusalem, and as he has been traveling through Asia, and he's coming back to Jerusalem. You'll remember when he was in Ephesus and he said, hey, look, I know that I'm going to face trouble there. I know that it's going to be difficult. The Holy Spirit has already told me that wherever I go, I'm going to be chased. I'm going to be bothered. I'm going to be harassed. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. All of these things. God's already revealed them to me. But nothing's going to get in my way to fulfill His purpose for my life. And then at the end of the last section last week, we saw that Paul does make it to Jerusalem, and everybody there, they're happy to see him, but they said, hey, some people that have been chasing you around, trying to put an end to your life and your ministry, some of them have made it here, and they've been saying some things about you, Paul, so here's our advice. Remember what they advised Paul to do with the young men last week? All right. Take the vow, shave your head, go into the temple with these young men. They've already got this planned. Pay for theirs. And maybe when, you know, these Jews that are chasing you down, when they see this, they'll go, oh, well, Paul really is a good guy, because a rumor was going around that Paul was teaching people to not listen to Moses, not listen to the law, and not do these things. So they're trying to soften that blow for him. But sometimes we cannot escape what is meant for us. Sometimes there's no way around it. Sometimes there's no avoiding it. And that's what Paul finds out here. Acts chapter 21, pick it up in verse 27. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple. And at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him!" And as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language. All right, so Paul is in the temple. He's completing this vow with these other young men. These Jews have come. They see him come out of the temple. And they're like, "Ha, ha, there he is. That's the guy. That's the guy." And notice it's kind of interesting there in verse 29. They had previously seen some of the Gentile believers that were with Paul. And they just made the assumption that, oh, well, Paul's with these Gentiles, so Paul must have brought these Gentiles into the temple. Now, the last few chapters, you'll remember in the book of Acts, how Paul has been traveling through. He's got some Jewish believers with him. He's got some Gentile believers with him. And he has made a point of keeping things separate when he was celebrating the different feasts for the Jews. And he is not doing anything to cause any problem to anyone's faith or sensibilities. He has worked very hard to not offend anyone. But sometimes when people have it in their mind to make up things about you, there's nothing you can do to defend yourself. Sometimes people are going to say what people are going to say. But Paul gives us a very interesting example, because the Jews are there and they say, "Hey, this is the guy. This is the guy. Let's get this guy, because he defiled the temple. He brought some Greeks into the temple." And then some Romans have to rescue Paul, because they're out there, they've drug him out, they're beating on him. And so the Romans come down there, they take Paul from this beating, and they take him inside just to save his life. And so then they start asking him, "Oh, what's going on here? Who are you?" And then the Roman in verse 38, "Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt?" Now, something very interesting about Paul's reaction to these things, because our natural reaction when someone makes a false accusation to us is what? Deny. Defend. What? No, no, that was, no, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. See, Paul didn't waste any energy on any of that. If someone's speaking lies about you, that's not worth defending. That's not where his energy is. See, church, sometimes we get so caught up in defending our good name that all of our energy, it's gone for the gospel. We forget our purpose. We forget our reason. And what do? It's another temptation. It is another temptation to defend ourselves against lies that someone else might say against us. And Paul doesn't bother with that. These religious Jews that have been chasing him from city to city, from province to province, from country to country, they've been chasing him down, trying to shut him up, get rid of him, because he is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have come in just looking for a reason to put him down. Now, Chris read for us in, Matthew chapter 10 this morning? Jesus warned his followers that this was going to happen, right? He says, look how they're going to treat me. Guess what? If you're following me, they're going to treat you like this as well. If we're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you and I just might look like him enough that the world will treat us as it treated him. So Paul here is experiencing exactly what Jesus told his followers was going to happen when they devote their lives to him. He said, they're going to drag you up in front of the council. They're going to lie about you. They're going to beat you. They're going to do whatever they can to shut you up. They're going to do whatever they can to stop you from sharing the gospel. Now, church, unfortunately, a lot of us have so much time and energy devoted to defending ourselves that we don't even have to get beat up. We just need to defend our own good name. Well, guess what happens when I'm talking about my own good name? I'm not talking about the only good name. Think about your energy. Think about your efforts. Where is it going? Is it going to the gospel? Are we faithful like Paul and saying, nothing is going to get in my way? Are we faithful like Jesus? Nothing is going to get in my way, and especially not me. So the Apostle Paul here, he doesn't bother with the accusations. He doesn't bother with the threats. He just got beat up in the streets in front of everybody. He had to be rescued by one of the Romans. Can I talk to the people? The Jews are lying about him, and this Roman guy, he goes, hey, are you one of those terrorists? I think you're one of those terrorists. You're one of those assassins from Egypt? He doesn't bother defending himself. No, that's not me. I'm a good guy. Not a word. What's his response? Hey, if you don't mind, can I address this crowd? Can I talk to them? As Paul is experiencing what Jesus has warned his followers for, and what Jesus did say back in Matthew chapter 10, do you remember what he said that they're supposed to say? Because it's not just suffering for the sake of Christ. It's suffering for the sake of Christ because you and I carry the aroma of Christ. You and I walk amongst the dead, and we carry the aroma of life. And so those who are alive, it's very pleasing, right? And those who are dead, it is very scary. And Jesus says, not only are you going to be persecuted, but more importantly, it's going to be an opportunity to talk to them. And don't worry about having something prepared. Don't worry about, okay, well, when I'm in this situation, what should I say? What should I speak on? I can't bring to mind any great sermons, so what should I tell these people? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 10? Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will give you words. The Holy Spirit will give you the message for the people that you're in front of. Trust it. Trust it. So the point of following Jesus, the whole point of following Jesus, our salvation has been secured. We're okay. We don't fear those who kill the body and can't kill the soul. We have no fear of them because we are saved by the one who gives eternal life. So now our lives can be employed in his service, and his service is sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. It's not about defending our honor. It's not about convincing people that we are so good. It's about telling them the only story that will save their lives. We cannot forget that. Paul didn't forget that. But Paul wasn't very comfortable, right? I mean, he's a traveling minister. That was his job. That was his purpose. Church, that's our purpose. That's our purpose. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you don't know where it is, we sang the song this morning, so you should at least have an idea. 1 Peter chapter 4. Chester, I did appreciate that reminder. 1 Peter chapter 4, go down to verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." I love that. Standing with Jesus just might get us treated like Jesus. Now, here's a modern problem. We suffer, but it's not for the sake of Christ. Bad things happen to us, and we just go, "Well, God, I didn't do anything to deserve this." Unfortunately, that's probably right. Unfortunately, not enough of us have done enough like Christ to suffer like Christ. And Peter here says, hey, look, if you're suffering for the sake of Christ, not just suffering, not just, you know, having to go through hard times or having to go through uncomfortable situations or dealing with illness or weakness or those things. No, no, no. He says, if you are suffering for the sake of Christ, that is, you are shining the light of Jesus, you are sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you get some pushback, that is a celebration time. That's a time of celebration. Well, how could you possibly celebrate if people hate you for what you say? How could you possibly celebrate if people are going to say bad things about you, make up lies, treat you poorly? Well, Peter here has figured it out, and he says, we rejoice as we share Christ's sufferings so that we can also rejoice when we get to share Christ's glory. Do you know what a t-shirt fan is? Do you know this term? A t-shirt fan. A t-shirt fan is someone that buys the shirt after the Super Bowl. That's a t-shirt fan, okay? Now, the difference between a true fan and a t-shirt fan is a true fan that every week, if anyone knows, there's this game called football that is played, you know, for several months on the weekends. Well, now they've got it to about half the week. And some of you may be a fan of a team, whether it's professional or college, and it may not be football for you, it may be basketball, whatever. A true fan has been there, been around long enough to see their team have some great seasons and maybe some not so great seasons, right? But if you're a true fan, it doesn't matter. You'll defend your team. You'll stand up for them. You'll let people know, hey, I don't care if my team got 3 wins this year. I'm wearing the shirt. Because I'm a true fan. You know what I'm talking about? Whereas a t-shirt fan shows up and they just wait till the Super Bowl. They go, huh, which team won? That team. Well, that's the t-shirt I'm buying. That's a t-shirt fan. That shirt, if that team doesn't do well next year, that shirt's probably going in the closet. Peter here says that being a t-shirt fan for Jesus isn't going to cut it. You got to be a true fan. That means you have to be devoted to your Lord in the lean years. You got to be devoted to Christ when it's difficult, because you want to celebrate the party. You want to be a part of the parade. Then you better stick with Jesus through the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads and all of it. Why? Because the parade and the party at the end are worth it. Are worth it. So, if there is enough Jesus in you and on you and coming out of your mouth so that the world gives you some pushback and causes you some trouble, that's okay. You celebrate it, because that's how they treated Jesus. They treated Jesus that poorly. And if they recognize Jesus in you, they're going to treat you poorly for the same reason. Darkness is not always a fan of light. Now, don't fall into the trap, as many of us do all too often. Someone says something bad about us. Someone makes fun of our faith. They make fun of our lives, and they make fun of us, or they say bad things about us, or they just make up lies. Don't fall in the trap of trying to defend yourself, because yourself is not who the gospel is about. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. His story is the story. Your story is just to be thankful that you get to know His story. That's what's important. And so Peter will encourage us here in his letter in chapter 4. Rejoice as you share in His sufferings, that you may rejoice when His glory is revealed. Turn back to Acts. So this is all set up, and Paul is about to talk. He's about to share a story. Everything is lining up to where he has got a great big audience, okay? Now, they're bloodthirsty. They're trying to kill him, but he's got an audience. Everybody is in tune, all right? I mean, you can picture Paul's out in the street, and they're sitting there just pounding on him till the cops show up, and everyone's like, oh, hey, what's going on here? What's going on here? Well, this guy, he deserves it. Same story of Jesus, right? What's going on here? Well, this guy deserves it. So Paul gets whisked away. He gets protected. And Paul says, you know what? There's a lot of people out there. It's a good size audience. I mean, I couldn't get that many people to show up at our Sunday morning worship. They're all here in one place. You know what? They deserve a story. They deserve a story. You know what Paul doesn't do? He doesn't walk out there and go, all right, I got Rome's protection. You need to know I never did those things you said about me. That's not what he does. So listen to his story. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. When they had heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, well, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So, Paul tells a story. Paul tells his story, and his story is, hey, I have a Jewish history, just like you. I have a Jewish history. We're actually brothers. We're kinsmen. In fact, not only am I Jewish, but I'm kind of super Jewish. Like, he had all the pedigree. He's from the right towns. He was taught by the right people. I mean, he would go and do anything to protect God's law. In fact, he went so far as to kill other people. He hunted them down. He was going to do anything to stop this false teaching about Jesus, this new Christianity. He was all about it. But he met Jesus. He met Jesus and he shares his conversion story. And now he says, hey, my life now is about following the Spirit. It's what we've seen, the story of the book of Acts about Jesus' disciples following the Spirit, being led by God to know where to go and what to say and who to talk to. It's the whole story. It's the whole story. And Paul relates to those who are trying to destroy him, and I love this. He does relate to them, and you'll remember in Acts, he's done this in several places. You remember when he was in Athens? And Athens was the place that had all those different idols and statues of all the different gods. He walked in and he looked around and he went, wow, you guys are religious. I mean, look at all these idols you got. And here he's talking to his Jewish brothers. And he said, hey, I was one of you. I was just like you. In fact, I was better at it than any of you were. I was chasing them down with arrest warrants. I was holding the coats while they were killing Stephen. I was there. I was right in the thick of it. But I met Jesus. I met Jesus, and I love how he met Jesus. I love how it's described here in Acts chapter 21, verse 6. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. It's noon. It's the brightest time of the day, and God reveals himself by a bright light, a light brighter than the noonday sun. Jesus shows himself to Paul, who at that time was called Saul. He said, Saul, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? And you remember the story. You remember Paul's conversion himself. And he goes, well, who are you that I might be persecuting? You see, I am Jesus. I am the one that you're trying to destroy. Paul here in Acts chapter 22, he is relating to those who are trying to destroy him, and he is telling them, here's when Jesus came to me. Now, church, this is so important. This is so important to know your own story in the context of Jesus. Okay? To know your own story of who you were before you encountered Jesus. To know your story. And it's very important for you to remember your conversion story. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus show up in your life and convict your heart that you are a sinner and you need to be saved by his grace? Where was it? When was it? What was going on? You need to be familiar with that part of your story. Because that's what's going to help you relate to other people in sharing the story of Jesus. So Paul does this. And after he was convicted of his own sins, he also shares his baptism story. He was cleansed and he called upon the Lord for salvation. And then he ends this whole thing in verse 21. And he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." So God, after Jesus has been raised from the dead and gone back into heaven, this guy Saul is going around working with the Jews trying to destroy this young church, this new church, and all of these believers, those that had put their faith in Christ. And Saul's doing everything he can to destroy it, to wipe it out. It's still a threat. They destroyed Jesus, and that wasn't enough because now people are still following Jesus. Jesus isn't even here anymore, and people are still following him. And so Saul is putting all of his efforts into destroying this. And after all of his history and his background and his conversion and his baptism, the Holy Spirit tells him, Jesus himself tells him, this is where you're going to go. You're going to go reach out to the Gentiles. They're not going to listen to you here, so you're going to go to the Gentiles. Now, you'll have to come back next week to see how this story continues. But how do you think these Jews reacted to Paul's last word that Jesus himself told me, I'm going to the Gentiles? Think they were very excited about that part? No. Which again, part of the reason that Jesus himself got in so much trouble, right? It's part of the reason that we have seen Jewish believers and Gentile believers all throughout the book of Acts. Because some of the Jews were like, oh, okay, well, this is God's anointed one. And all the Gentiles were like, wait a minute, God's for us now too? This is amazing. We've never been a part of this. And now we get to be a part of this? So we've got all of this history going on. And we'll come back and we'll finish chapter 22 next week. But here, Paul ends his speech. He ends this sermon with, yeah, the Spirit is going to send you to some unexpected places. You better be ready to follow. You better be ready to follow. So it's an amazing blueprint for us. And it really shows us how important it is to know the story of Jesus and to know our story with Jesus and be willing to share the story, because it is the story of Jesus that saves people from their sins. You and I believe the story. We've put our hope in that story. We've put our hope in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. We've put our hope in the fact that God did not leave him in the ground, but raised him back up. And we put our hope in the Spirit that he sent to fill our lives and to guide our steps and direct us, to tell us what to say, to encourage us not to be afraid, to be faithful, just like Paul is, just like Peter is, to fulfill our purpose here in knowing that the lost, be they Jew or Gentile, it really doesn't matter. Let's make it modern. Jew, Gentile, how about Muslim? Oh. Yeah, that might be our Gentiles. Or that may be our Jews. I'm not sure. But it's something. And there's a lot of them. And if Paul was here today, he wouldn't be afraid of them. Because they need Jesus too. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. So I better get my story straight. I better get my story straight. And I better not be afraid to share it. Turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to close with something else that Peter said over here. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Go down to verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Now, if you are fired up, you are excited, you are putting all your energy in doing good for other people, I mean, honestly, who's going to harm you? Who is possibly going to get in the way of you doing good things? Right? So, Tony shared with me some stories. Tony, what's the thing that you say? Yeah, I just drew a blank. This wasn't planned. I know. But this is the one, when you do something good for somebody and then something bad happens. Say that again. Thank you. Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished, right? Well, Peter here is like, hey, if you're on fire for doing good and helping other people, who is possibly going to get in your way? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Yeah, there is somebody that's going to get in your way, isn't there? Yeah, the enemy is going to get in your way. If you are being faithful to do good, if you are zealous, all I want is to do good. All I want is to help people. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. I know the truth of eternal life. And they need that. And I just want to help them with it. Who could possibly stand in my way? The enemy. The one who chose not to be there. The one who is away from his presence. And the one who wants all the company he can get. That's who will stand in our way. The enemy. The enemy is the one that will spread lies. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. The enemy is the one that will tempt us to care more about our story than Jesus' story. The enemy is the one that will cause hearts to burn against us. But Peter here says, now look, who's there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But, verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Hey, look, if someone does stand in the way, if it is not easy for you, if you suffer like Paul does here in the book of Acts, if you actually, as a disciple of Jesus, if the words of Jesus come true in your life and other people hate you for believing in Jesus and trying to talk to them about Jesus, it's okay. You may suffer at their hands, but you will be blessed. Okay. All right. So I may go through some difficult things because I do have an enemy. I mean, if I take up to be on the side of Christ, I'm a part of his team, right? I'm not a t-shirt fan. Like, I've been a fan for a while now. Good years, bad years. I'm not a t-shirt fan. If I take on Christ's blessings, I also get Christ's enemy. All right. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared, being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. All right, so here Peter says, and this really fits in with what we've seen Paul go through in Acts this morning. We are encouraged to honor Christ the Lord as holy. And we are prepared to make a defense. Two things. Number one, and you know, we've got several young Christians with us here at Sunrise. And young Christians, I want you to hear this, okay? I want you to hear this and I want you to know this. I want you to hear this, and I want you to know this, and I want you to make this real. Because sometimes when we're a young Christian, not every young Christian turns into an older Christian. Sometimes young Christians find a reason to let go of Christ. That sometimes we made a decision. We made a decision to follow Christ and say, well, my parents follow Christ. I need to follow Christ. Or Christ has done some wonderful things for me, so I need to follow him. And then maybe at some point later in life, we are challenged and we haven't really sunk those roots in. And difficult things start to happen to our life and we kind of let go of Christ. It happens. I want you to be aware. I want you to be aware. This warning that Peter writes about here, he says, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. This is for your own protection. This is for you. You need to know the story of Jesus. You need to know your reason for following Jesus. You need to be able to answer for yourself. And that answer for yourself better be very powerful. Because if it is not powerful, if your reason for being a Christian is because, well, you know, my parents. Your parents' faith is not strong enough when the enemy comes, is it? Is it? Nope. Your parents' faith will not save you. And if you're only doing it to make your parents happy, it's not going to be enough because the enemy's coming for you too. The enemy is coming directly at you. And the enemy wants you to let go. The enemy wants you to say, whoa, this is not worth it. This is not worth it. I mean, I like the camp songs and I like the fellowship meals at church, but this is getting kind of hard. The enemy's coming after me. And it would be much easier if I just kept my mouth shut and just went along with everybody else and what they were doing. You better have your answer. And your answer better be grounded and strong enough so that you hold on to your own faith. So in your heart, you regard Christ the Lord as holy. You're a follower of Jesus. Okay? You yourself, if you have made that decision, you answer to him. He is your Lord and Savior. So that connection better be tight and it better be deep and you better be able to trust it because there are coming days in your life where it's going to get shaken. It's going to get hit. It's going to get punched and scratched, made fun of. All of those things. So in your heart, you better regard Christ as holy. And then number two, you need to know how to tell others. You just need to know how to tell others. Know your own story. Why did you become a Christian? What was it that convinced you? What was it? What was it in your own life where you realized, oh boy, I mean, I thought I was a good person, but I understand the holiness of God. I've done some things. I've done some things. I've said some things. I've thought some things. I have sinned. And I'm not going to be where I want to be unless those sins are removed. And so I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I made the good confession. My sins were washed away in baptism. I was born again. I'm not the same person that I was. I'm now filled with His Spirit. So it's no longer me just running around trying to make good decisions in life. It is Him in me directing my steps to make good decisions in life. You got to know your reason. You got to know your story. And you got to know His story and when His story came in contact with your story. That will get you through the difficult days. That will get you through the hardships and the pain and the suffering. That's the hope that we have. Because we have taken on Christ's suffering. We have been willing to say, you know what? I will stand up for Jesus even when it's difficult. I will take a stand for Jesus and I will tell other people, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And yes, I believe Him when He said He is the only way to get to God the Father in heaven. It's what he said, I believe it, and I'm living all the way towards it. You got to know, and you got to be willing to say it out loud. And the good news is, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You can't be a part-time Christian, and you can't be a t-shirt fan. It's not going to work. Our faith in Christ has to be the thing. And it has to be rock solid. Because the enemy will test it. If the enemy hadn't tested it yet, talk to somebody around you. You can just reach out in this auditorium this morning and you can touch somebody or reach somebody who has been tested. If we stand up with Christ, the enemy is going to stand up against us. That's not the time to defend ourselves. That's not the time to take it personally. That's the time to go, okay, all right. I'm enough like my Lord and Savior that I'm actually on the enemy's radar. And he's coming back. I'm getting a little pushback. Okay, that's all right. I'm doing this for Jesus anyway. It's for his glory, not mine. I'm not going to waste my breath defending myself. I'm not going to waste my breath pumping myself up or trying to make myself look good to other people, because that's not what this is about. Because my good self doesn't save anybody. But his good self makes it possible to save everybody. So I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to tell people what he has done for me. I'm not going to be afraid anymore, because I actually believe it. I actually believe what Jesus did for me and my soul and my eternal salvation. I believe it enough to tell other people. A little bit of pushback, it's okay. I know whom I have believed. And I trust him. What an amazing lesson that we get from this chapter in Acts. What an amazing lesson that we get from the Apostle Paul say, hey, I got an audience. Might as well tell them something about Jesus, right? All right. This morning, if you're a believer and you haven't figured out how to lock that down for yourself and you want us to pray for you, that's my invitation this morning. Okay? Well, there's a lot of believers in this room this morning. But if you're struggling to really just be anchored in, and you need us to pray for you, let us know. Okay? We want to pray with you. We want you to get there. And we all struggle. We all have our days where the story of Jesus is just not strong enough for us to be faithful like we should be. We all have those days. But we need to be found in the Lord. We want to be found in the Lord. We want our faith to be so strong that it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter what we suffer for the sake of Christ. It's okay. It's all right. That just means that the enemy sees some of Jesus in me. And that's a good thing. So, if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you. We invite you as well. If it's time for you to confess your belief, if it's time for you to say, okay, well, the mess I've made of my life, that's not working for me. If you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, take him on as your Savior, then we invite you to do that as well. Okay?